The White House and Congress negotiate. The economy is not waiting around. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishour, in for David Brancaccio. How to hold up the economy as the pandemic rages on. We now have two competing plans for how to do that, one from Democrats passed in May, the other from Republicans in the Senate, who, despite having a bill, still remain divided themselves. How different are these plans? About $2 trillion different. Now comes the negotiation. White House officials are expected to be on Capitol Hill today to take part. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live to discuss this. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So let's start with jobless benefits. How far apart are they? Are the two parties on that?
Well, Democrats passed a bill of around $3 trillion last spring, and that would continue the extra $600 a week unemployment workers are receiving through January. The Republican proposal released yesterday would give the unemployed 70% of their most recent salary by this October, when state unemployment offices would have had time to reconfigure their computer systems to do those calculations. Until then, jobless workers would just get an extra $200 a week.
Huh. Is that likely to pass the full Congress?
No. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi came out of a meeting yesterday with Treasury Secretary Mnuchin and White House Chief of Staff Meadows, saying it was a good meeting, but they don't have, quote, shared values. She says they're trying to find common ground, but they're not there yet.
There is not much time, right?
No, there isn't. The extra $600 a week officially expires this Friday. Republicans say the $600 benefit is too high. Democrats say state unemployment offices are overwhelmed and it'll be too difficult for them to do these calculations. They also say the $600 unemployment supplement has bumped up consumer spending, boosting the economy.
So those $600 aside, what are some other differences between the two parties?
Republicans included liability protections, protections for businesses, schools, and hospitals from being sued if someone got COVID-19 on their property. Democrats have been more focused on protecting workers.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 3 to 4 tenths percent range, with the Dow future down 97 points. And on Capitol Hill, two Republican senators say they will oppose the confirmation of one of President Trump's nominees to the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. Judy Shelton was an economic advisor to President Trump's 2016 campaign, and her views, current and past, are controversial. The other nominee, economist Christopher Waller, hasn't raised any eyebrows. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more on that.
Judy Shelton has advocated for tying the value of the U.S. dollar to the price of gold, as it was before the Great Depression. Gary Richardson teaches economics at the University of California, Irvine. He's not worried about Shelton getting the U.S. to return to the gold standard.
The concern is that someone who's out there advocating that we should be on a gold standard doesn't understand monetary policy and doesn't understand the way the economies or the national or international financial systems function.
But he says because the Federal Reserve is designed with checks and balances, her influence would be limited. The other nominee, Christopher Waller, has a similar economic background to governors currently on the board. Peter Conte Brown at the Wharton School of Business says every appointment matters.
Each governor and each Reserve Bank president gets, with the appointment, a bully pulpit. And what that governor or president does with that pulpit can matter significantly.
And he says Shelton's personal ties to Donald Trump raise concerns, since even the suggestion that a Fed governor might favor a sitting president could undermine the institutional benefits of an independent central bank. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
France, like many countries, had an acute shortage of hand sanitizer at the beginning of the COVID-19 outbreak. Now, with the lockdown lifted, demand is rising even further. But France has found a very interesting and very French solution to the problem, as John Lawrenson reports.
Hand sanitizer is on sale again at the Arcade Pharmacy in Saint-Orens-de-Gamville near Toulouse in the south of France. It's just that the smell is a little surprising to customers like Mireille Pereira, Bernard Legrand, and Aurélie Gilbert.
It smells very, very pleasantly of a good fruit alcohol. A memory of almonds and hazelnuts.
A subtle smell of rosé.
Some local officials have turned to their wine producers to tackle the sanitizer shortage because some winemakers have distilleries.
You know, you can recognize our alcohol because it smells a little bit the grape.
Anne Arbeau co-directs with her brother a family vineyard called Vignoble Arbeau.
At the beginning of the crisis, a mayor of a neighbor of the village called us asking if we have our alcohol in storage and if we can supply for pharmacy because the pharmacy of his village was looking for alcohol everywhere.
Bottling up the red and white wines made out of the juice from the grapes, they distill the leftover mush of pips and skin to make what's called pomice brandy, what Italians call grappa. And that's what's used to make the hand sanitizer. Arbeau has already sold over 3,000 gallons of the stuff to local labs and chemists. And other winemaker distillers are doing the same. The alcohol is slightly weaker than the wheat alcohol usually used in sanitizer, but tests show it's still strong enough to kill the virus. The brandy is turned into sanitizer by pharmacists like Romain Douce, who works at the Pharmacie des Arcades.
It's new for us, working with winemakers. Everything's local. The alcohol is from the vineyards, but also the bottles, made 3 kilometers from here, and the handwritten labels that we make ourselves. It's good to get back to what chemists used to do, make up preparations ourselves, which we haven't done for years.
Douce's pharmacy has sold, he says, 80 gallons of wine sanitizer. Perhaps a new product has been born that people will still want when this crisis is over. Customers are getting a taste for it, though one hopes not literally. In Paris, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.